Wow.
I love you.
Thank you.
Where is that from?
What?
Puerto Rico said.
Pat, oh, that's from my, well, I was about to say freshman.
Shout out to Pat.
Yeah, Patrick Clark came up with it, and he just went, ready to go, and it became a thing. Yeah, so yeah, that's a thing now. Okay.
Hey, you're cute.
Shut up. Okay. I'm not cute. I'm trying to be serious. Okay. So hi. Hello.
Hi.
I'm Vicky.
Hi,
yeah.
Vicky.
So we've been having a good time. It's been a great day, and yesterday was great too, and all days are great. So we've been having a lot of fun. The food is amazing. I come here just for the food, JK. But it's so good. And you know, poster chairing is ridiculous. That was like, our table did so good, by the way. I'm so proud of you guys. Okay, anyways, but you know, and the retreat's really great and we have a lot of fun, but there's also kind of serious moments. You know, the talks kind of have some serious undertones. We're talking about Christ and God, and, you know, it's kind of serious. Like, that's our lives and someone who created us and someone who loves us all very, very much. So much so that God let his son die on the cross for you. And that's crazy. I can't even fathom that. And every time I see it, I'm just like so moved, and I cry every time. Every time I'm so, like, I can't believe it. I would never be able. I'm very sorry, but I would never be able to like let Vadel die for any of you guys, because I love her too much. And also, I could never do what Jesus did. I probably would never die for any of you guys. I'm very sorry. It's just, you know, self-preservation. That's ridiculous. Like, and they did that. They chose that willingly so that us, thousands of years later, can be here sitting and worshiping him and just having, like, great lives. Like, we go through some crappy things, but it's generally a great life here, like, where we are right now. I've been in the church for like 4 years now, and I still to this day I don't understand. And you know, like, I'm really glad that happened. I don't want Jesus to have suffered, but also at the same time we wouldn't be here. But that was all for forgiveness, for our sins, our past sins, our future sins, the sins that we are holding on to right now. And, you know, we need that forgiveness. We need that that reconciliation with him. We need to be closer to him. And when we leave our sins behind us, when we give them up to him, we're able to become closer to him. And we call that reconciliation. We are humbling ourselves in front of the Lord so that we can be closer, we can have a close relationship. So that reminds me of the story of the prodigal son. And that's in the Bible here. I could use that. Can I find it? I hope so. Ooh, I found it. Ha ha ha. This isn't my Bible. I forgot mine back there. Okay. Luke chapter 15. Verse 11. And it says, "Then he said, a man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me.' So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all of his belongings and set off to a distant country where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend to the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, 'How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat? But here I am dying from hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers. So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and I have sinned against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. But his father ordered his servants, quickly, bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And the celebration began. That's not the whole story, but that's where we're going to stop. So again, there's like this really big party. I should not touch that. There's this really big party because the son decided my father loves me and he loves everybody who works for him, that even he doesn't let his hired workers go hungry. So let me go to him and I feel so bad that I have hurt him, that I'm going to humble myself and be just a servant to him, not even a son. I don't even deserve that half the land that I squandered. And the father brings him in and puts fine robes and a ring and sandals, stuff that he doesn't deserve after being so terrible and disgracing basically who he was. And, you know, parents do that. Honestly, I've messed up with my parents and I've been super mean to them. And they still treat me like amazingly. They still go out of their way to do stuff for me. And like that's what a good parent does, I think. And that's the same thing that God does for us. No matter how far away we get, no matter how badly you screw up, he loves you and he forgives freely so that he can celebrate your homecoming. He, like, when you reconcile with him, he's so happy because it means that you are making an effort to accept his grace and his love. And when you're truly sorry and you take responsibility for your actions, everything's wiped clean. Your soul's wiped clean of those sins. He knew you before you were born. He sees who you truly are and he knows your potential and he has a plan for you. So those sins really keep you away from doing what you've been called for. And that's why we need his forgiveness. I'm not a perfect Catholic girl. I really am not. And I know when I first came to Antioch, I was like, oh man, these people, they're like super holy and they don't do anything wrong. And like, there's no way I'll ever fit in here ever. And that's not true. We all have faults, we all have shortcomings. That means that my relationship with Christ isn't the most perfect relationship ever. And it can do with some fixing and some work. Basically, my journey with Christ has been kind of a drift to and back from him. And the only way I can really think of it is, this is going to be a really weird analogy, so go with me. In your mind's eye, imagine. It's like a little raft, right? I'm a little dinky raft. And it's weird. Go with me. And it's like one of those floaty rafts, and it's got a bunch of patches and duct tape on it. And it's tied to this dock, to this beautiful, beautiful island that is like a paradise, basically. And I only tied my raft with like bunny ears, which is the worst knot that any sailor could ever make, I guess. As you know, the waves start to get going, you know, the bunny ears come off, and then I drift away from the beautiful island, which provides everything, and I, like, you don't need to worry about anything. Only when the waves really start to crash and the storm gets really hard and, like, it's terrible to go through and I'm afraid my dinky's gonna sink, that I think I probably just would have been safer back on this dock, and I should have just tied it better. And then I have to like row extra hard and fight back through all the winds and hail and basically a hurricane to get back to the dock, which is, I guess, Christ. And, you know, yeah. But I never learned my lesson. I just had same old bunny ears and, you know, and then the next storm hits and then it's a mess. So basically that's a really long, terrible analogy for the fact that I have sins in my life that hold me back from Christ, and I let them take me away from Christ because I know that Christ is there and I know that I need him, but those things keep me away. I've had a few examples in my life of times where I've really, really been away from Christ. I know a lot of the times people give this talk, they've been like one really major thing that's happened in their life and like, this is what happened in my life and now like here's how I'm better. But I don't think I am like a lot better than the last times, because it's just a learning process every time, and I only get a little bit better. So a few of those times would be when I had a boyfriend for 2.5 years, you know, when you're young and there's like hormones and things. And he was like two years older than me, so those hormones were a lot stronger in him, I guess. And so there was a lot of our sexuality was being mixed in with our love, and like I thought I was gonna marry the kids. So we did a lot of sexual things that people shouldn't do until they're married, and that pulled me away from Christ. And really, I didn't go to church at all. And I would just spend my time with him because that was what was my priority. And then another time was I really had a huge falling out with some of my friends, and I thought they hated me. So I was like, there is obviously something wrong with me. And you know, I hated myself for a long time. Because I thought, well, if my friends hate me, then there must be something wrong. So God must hate me too. So again, shifting my priorities, shifting my focus from Christ to people around me. Like, you know, when you put other people in front of God, that opens you up to a lot more sins, a lot more things that will get in your way. Because when friends are in the forefront, then like that leads to gossiping and that's kind of like a big thing that ends up with friends. And with boys, it's sex, and we're like girls, you know. The switch. And also, I have anxiety. I have anxiety and I have depression. So that makes it really hard for me to see past any like little mistakes that I do. And I just like dwell on those, and those become what I am like focused on and not Christ. And that's been another thing that I've been working on lately, actually. And that really keeps me away, because it keeps me away from confession, it keeps me away from coming to Mass. And you know, Christ isn't, he's just not the most important thing in my life, because I'm too busy thinking like, oh, you're not good enough for Christ to love you anyways. And then, okay, I'm in college too. And I'm in a sorority. So like a lot of that is drinking and partying, and like, you're not cool and you're not gonna have friends unless you're doing all that stuff. And that's led to me like kissing boys when I'm drunk and like not, and you know, throwing up and not making the best image of myself, which sucks. So those are kind of representative of those little storms. Not big, those are big storms. It's my little raft. And when that happens, I become someone I don't know. I become cynical and I don't want to see my family and I don't want to see my friends and I don't do homework and I don't leave the house, basically. And that leads to a lot of problems. My grades going down, my family members not really wanting to hang out with me, my friends not wanting to hang out with me. I don't come to Antioch, which has always been a really great source of happiness for me. And, you know, I don't get to impact people's lives. So yeah. And when that happens, I just avoid confession. I don't know why. I'm, like, addicted to my own self-destruction. I start sinning, and then it's a huge spiral, and I just don't get myself, like, fixed. It's there. Like, forgiveness is there, and confession is there, and I know people go all the time. But I don't know what it is. I just feel like I am not ready to go ever. Like, oh, next week I'll go. No, definitely next week I'll go. Oh, but my friends asked me to go to that fundraiser thing. I'll go next time. And it just keeps going and going until I feel like crap. And I don't feel good. And I'm so sad that I'm sitting at Mass and I don't get to take communion. And it's just a really, really low time. But when you do, oh man, wow, it was deep and then we went up. Okay, so, you know, that again, that forgiveness is there. When I finally get out of the house and I finally decide, you need to stop doing this to yourself. Going to confession just turns everything around. You know, it's a fresh start, it's a new day. You know, like, you remember that Christ loves you again. I remember that Christ loves me again. Because I forget a lot of the time. And so, this is weird. Yeah. My first reconciliation, my first confession, basically was my candidate retreat. I came here, I was never a Christian. So I was at the low point for a long time until I was like 14, 15? I was 15. And I just constantly was not doing what I was supposed to do, not doing homework, always feeling like crap, and feeling like I had no purpose. And I came to Antioch and everything changed. Really, it like that. I went to reconciliation and like just a weight lifted off my shoulders. I felt like a new person. I came back to life. I wasn't alive actually at all. I hated everything. So I really lived for the first time. And that's the thing with confession is like you don't go one time and then you're fixed forever, because you're gonna sin again and you're gonna mess up again like with the storms. So that first confession was beautiful, and you know, it's like it felt like the Holy Spirit really embraced me for the first time. It's really unexplainable. I had a purpose again. Well, never had a purpose. Whatever. I had a purpose for the first time. I knew that Christ loved me. And that was great. So yeah. Oh, that really reminds me. Okay. So best confession I've ever had. The priest told me that whenever I was feeling down, whenever I felt like I was going to go down that rabbit hole again of terrible things, that I just need to take a deep breath and breathe and say, Lord, I trust in you, which is actually in the Passion. When Jesus was in the forest, he was like on the ground, right? And he said, Lord, I trust in you, which is cool. So, like, saying exactly what Jesus said to the Father, when I feel down, like, that parallel is cool. So yeah. And, you know, the 4 years that I've been here, I've always been really not feeling like I deserve Christ's love, or like feeling like I, what am I saying? Veronica. Anyways. But you know, disbelieving of how God can love us so much that his son would come down and live amongst us and then die for us. So, like, every time I was at Mass, I was crying, and I was like, this is amazing that this would happen. And this last time, this talk has helped me a lot with realizing that Christ can strengthen you. And I have never felt so strong in my faith until now, after being reconciled with Christ again. And it's been a few months. It's been a really long time, actually. And I've come to Antioch, and, you know, you pretend that you're doing well. You pretend that you aren't going down a deep, dark hole of terrible thoughts and terrible times. And, you know, you just pretend to be happy and, like, nothing's going wrong. But then when you finally get into that confessional, you finally believe that you are worthy, you can do anything because Christ is behind you. Christ loves you, and he wants you to be able to do his will. So, let God welcome you home. Let him celebrate your homecoming. And, you know, reconciliation is really like the son in the story. He must have felt so great when the father welcomed him back. Like, the father went through a lot actually deciding, like, I still love my son no matter what he did. But the son feeling so low that he was less than swine, and then being brought back in by his father, feeling like, I don't even deserve to be, like, seen as his son, but more of a servant, and then having a whole feast thrown in his honor, like, that just would give him, I'm sure, so much of a want to do more for his father, a want to, you know, help his father and redo what he did wrong. And that's what we are called to do. When we are forgiven, we are called to do better than we did before. And so, yeah, so that's my challenge to you guys. Reconcile with Christ. Allow him to forgive you. Allow him to love you. Allow him to celebrate your homecoming. Because he wants you close. He loves you, and, you know, anything standing in the way of that hurts your chances of being all that you can be. So, with that, I will end in prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, I pray that you may welcome us home, that we may be able to humble ourselves to receive your forgiveness and live in your grace as long as we can. When we fall, Lord, let us remember that you are waiting to welcome us home. Our goal is to spend eternity in your life, in your light. Let us not stay in sin. Let not sin stand in the way of that goal. As we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.